As we prepare our hearts for worship on this Advent Sunday of peace, would you hear these words from Mark chapter 4? On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so the boat was being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Would you pray with me? And so, Jesus, we come to worship this day. And like the disciples, we have many reasons to look at the waves around us and to cry out, "Don't you even care about how hard it is down here? How messy it is. The bloodshed, the grief, the pain, the things that keep us up at night, the anxieties that we hold deep in our hearts." And Jesus, just as you spoke to those waves, "Peace, be still," we pray for your peace in our lives and in our world this day. We pray for your peace in countries that are at war in these very minutes. For Ukraine, we still pray for peace. For Israel and Gaza and Lebanon, we pray for peace. For Mexico, we pray for peace. For Haiti, we pray for peace. And for those places in our own hearts that are in turmoil, we pray for peace. We thank you, Jesus, that you have come, the Prince of Peace, and that you have empowered us, your people, to share the good work of bringing peace. And we so look forward to your return when we will all know peace. And so as we light candles and sing songs today, could we encounter your presence in this place? And would you send us out to shine your light and share your peace near and far? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Where you're going to be in verses 46 to 56 here in just a few minutes. And so be ready. Would you pray with me? And now, living God, as we turn to your word, we do so as a people longing to hear from you. And so would your spirit move freely among us, opening our hearts, opening our ears. And so that we might hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so we might be whoever it is you want us to be. And so we might do whatever it is that you would like us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow is a poet, a father of six. He lost his wife to a fire. Her dress caught on fire. He tried to help put it out to no avail. She died of her injuries the next morning. 2 years later, his oldest son, Charlie, joined Lincoln's Union Army in the Civil War. December 1st, 1863, Longfellow received a war telegram. Charlie had been severely wounded in battle, nearly paralyzed. On Christmas Day of that same year, Longfellow sat in his Massachusetts home and he heard the church bells ringing, singing of peace on earth and goodwill to men. This widowed father of six, his oldest now severely wounded from a nation at war with itself, the violence, the grief. It seemed to mock this optimistic song. He listened to the bells with his heart's sadness. He listened with the madness all around him. And he listened to God's promise of peace on earth, of goodness winning, of right prevailing. And listening, he pinned the poem of what his heart still knew to be true, that Jesus came to bring peace on earth. And when he comes again, there will be peace forevermore. And as he comes through us, his people, there can be peace, even here and even now. We feel that exact same tension as we sing the songs of peace this morning, do we not? We sing peace on earth. In the back of our minds, we're saying, what about Ukraine? How long has that war been going on now that they didn't ask for? What about Israel and Gaza? Peace on earth. What about Haiti? What about Syria? What about the violence just south of us in Mexico? Statistics say that 1 in 7 people worldwide, 1 in 7, that's like one person on each pew, was exposed to political violence between July 2023 and July 2024, in 1 year. Peace on earth feels like wishful thinking sometimes. In our very own country, there have been 428 mass shootings in 2024 alone. And we still have 3 weeks to go. Firearms remain the leading cause of death for our children and our teens in this country. Peace on earth feels far-fetched. Yet here we are singing, can you hear the bells? They're ringing, peace on earth. The wrong shall fail and the right prevail. Peace on earth. We hear the news. We hear about the violence. We experience the violence. And still, we dare to believe that we serve a Christ who really does bring peace. And it's in that tension that we experience this season we call Advent. Waiting, longing for the Christ who has come to come again and to come in us as we participate with him until he comes to bring his kingdom in full once and for all. The year now is 33 BC. At a home in the hill country of Judea, Mary has just found out that she's pregnant with the Messiah. And she hasn't asked for this. She's too young, still a virgin, barely engaged. And she travels 100 miles to visit her relative Elizabeth, who just so happens to be pregnant as well. Unlike Mary, Elizabeth is too old. She's prayed for this baby for decades. And at some point along the way, she buried that prayer because a baby never came. Until the angel met Zechariah in the temple and said that God was up to something, that Mary would, or that Elizabeth would conceive, and that the baby that she would bear would prepare the way for the Messiah. Mary's too young to be pregnant. Elizabeth's too old to be pregnant. But God had got both of them in his hands. Whatever you feel you're too young for, too unprepared for, whatever you feel you're too old for, too tired for, Advent tells us of a God who says, wait till you see what I can do with that. Just wait. You're like, oh no, it's good news. Mary enters Elizabeth's home, and the baby in Elizabeth's womb, who we know is John the Baptist, leaps for joy. And in that moment, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she begins to sing out, saying, "Blessed are you, Mary, and blessed is the child in your womb. The Lord has come to me through you, Mary." And then Mary gets caught up and starts singing her own song in response to Elizabeth's song. It's the very first church service. The Holy Spirit is present among his people, and Christ is right there with them. And there they are, proclaiming God's promises, singing to the Lord together. It's two women presiding over the singing and the teaching and the prophesying and the proclaiming. So I tell you this morning, my friends, if anyone gives you a hard time about having a female pastor, just remind them that the very first church service ever was comprised of two women singing and preaching, "Christ is coming." It turns out the Spirit has never been all that picky about who gets to proclaim the good news. God just wants his people, all of his people, for crying out loud, to proclaim the good news. Christ has come and Christ is coming. Amen. Mary sings her song. It's traditionally called the Magnificat, magnify. In response to a popular Christmas song today, I think I've got a better title for it. I think it should be called "I'm Mary and I Knew." Of course, Mary didn't know every detail of how her son's life would go, but from her song, we see that she had a pretty good idea of what the Messiah comes to do. And so here are the words she sings, Luke chapter 1, verse 46. "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to their ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever.' And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home." Mary sings this song of the real peace that Jesus brings. It's a song of joy. It's a song of hope. It's a song of empowerment. You know what's crazy about this little song that you just heard me read because I can't sing? This song has been banned in several countries over the years, seen as an absolute threat to the powers in charge. In India, during British rule, the Magnificat was prohibited from being sung in churches. And on the last day of British rule, Gandhi, of all people, Gandhi requested the song be sung out as British flags were lowered. God's brought down the powerful and lifted up the lowly. A Hindu peacemaker saying, "Can we sing the songs finally that the Christian monarch has refused to sing?" Wow. In Guatemala and Argentina in the 1980s, the governments in both of those places banned this song, saying it was dangerous and revolutionary. They feared that if the people began to sing this song of Mary, the poor might actually be inspired to think that change was possible. They said, "That's dangerous. Don't let them sing it." Banned. Little 14-year-old, poor, pregnant Nazarene Mary, singing a song about the baby in her womb. And who would have thought that it was a song that would cause kings to tremble and dictators to fall and the oppressed to find their voice and rise up? The wrong shall fail and the right prevail. She's Mary, and she knew that her baby boy would turn it all upside down and bring peace on earth. What is this peace that Mary sings of that first Christmas? What is this peace? Is it a cup of cocoa and a warm, fuzzy blanket and our favorite Christmas movie on the TV? Is that the peace? Is it the children nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums burst in their heads? That's not very peaceful anyway, but is that the kind of peace? Is it drinking enough eggnog that you just forget about the mess out there for an evening? Is that what we mean when we light the candle of peace and sing the songs of peace and pray for God's peace and declare Mary's Magnificat again and again every Advent season? What is this peace that the Messiah brings? According to Mary's song, Christ brings the kind of peace that makes right a world that is full of wrong. Where there is injustice and oppression at the hands of the proud and the powerful, Mary's song says, now that's going to be exposed and thrown down when the Messiah comes. Those who are mistreated will rise in the ranks, and those who are mistreating will fall, and they will fall hard. This is peace, not just us finding our spot in our little cozy homes, but it is a peace that is infusing the very places where violence and oppression are connived and manufactured and sent out. The empires that thrive because they have the bigger weapons and more money, and they can make the poor work for their causes, do the dirty work for them. When this Messiah comes, Mary says, those empires and abusive schemes are done for. Now we see why this song gets banned. Anybody watch 60 Minutes in here? Me and, yes, I'm an old soul. It's my Sunday routine, 60 Minutes. I love it. And there was a story just last week talking about how our technology companies are using Africans to help improve AI. And what they're doing is they are hiring folks, mostly in Kenya, to spend hours and hours a day sitting in a little cubicle and sifting through pictures upon pictures and labeling all the things in the picture of what it is they're seeing for $2 an hour. Trying to help AI get better. That sounds like bad pay, but benign enough. But here's the thing, is these people, they're the ones who are having to teach AI how to know which pictures are appropriate and inappropriate for us to see. And so day in and day out, for $2 an hour, they are inundated with the worst possible pictures and videos you can imagine. Abuse, violence, warfare, everything. For $2 an hour. And as they interviewed these folks doing these jobs, they said, I've been overcome with depression and with anxiety and with PTSD. And they said, and I've tried to get help, get mental health help, and there's none to be found. And so the developed nations can have some peace in their web surfing. Citizens of undeveloped countries are being used and abused for $2 an hour. Mary's song is saying, that's not peace. If the poor are in turmoil to uphold the rich, that's not peace. The Messiah has come to bring peace to everyone. And everyone must include the poor. And the poor can only have peace when the unjust powers that should be protecting them and are instead exploiting them come crashing down. That's why this song gets banned. It's the powerful who ban it. It makes those of us who live in relative peace, that's me, start questioning at whose expense does my peace come? If a Kenyan is suffering tonight because he worked all day to keep my eyes safe, then I should have turmoil in my spirit too. Peace on earth means we belong to each other. And if there is no peace for them, then there is no peace for me. When my brother-in-law Micah was at war, I thought about war every single day. I prayed actively for peace every single day because my brother-in-law was on the front lines and his well-being directly affected my well-being. Peace on earth requires that we are all kin, that they are all our brothers and sisters. And where any are being mistreated, where any are on the front lines of war, our spirits get caught up in that too, because Jesus came to bring peace to all, and to all starts among the poor and the powerless, because until they have peace, then no one has peace. Christmas is about working for real peace, where there's wrong in the world. It's where we can get our hands dirty with Jesus, turning it upside down. That's what happens when the Messiah comes and when he comes in us. You know the story from just a few weeks ago, Zacchaeus, remember him? He encountered Jesus and this tax collector who had been making a buck off of exploiting others. In the presence of Jesus, he turns from all of the wrong that he's done and all the ways he's been complicit in this unjust system. They come to light, and in the presence of Jesus, Zacchaeus makes things right. He says, "Jesus, I will give it all back and even more than I have taken." Because when Jesus comes, wrong fails and right prevails. Peace on earth for everyone. What is one thing, just one thing, because you could go on all day. What's one thing that's happening in our world that's not right, that you are especially passionate about? And please tell me there's at least one thing. Please, if not, we got to wake up, right? What's one thing that's not right that you are especially passionate about? Is it gun violence and its effect on our children? That's probably my one thing. I've got a kiddo that'll be in kindergarten soon. I think about this all the time. Is it the injustices that have been done to our indigenous neighbors? Is it the mistreatment of our planet? Is it sex trafficking? Is it war? Is it food insecurity that people actually go to bed hungry every night in a world where there is more than enough food to go around? Does that keep anyone awake at night? Is it clean water access for all people? Is it a just system of health care for all people? Is it racial injustice? Is it the rising rates of anxiety in our kids and our teenagers? Is it the pandemic of drug abuse and the devastation that addiction brings? What's your one thing? There are plenty of things in this world that are not yet right, but can we at least have one thing? Because real peace takes some work, so you might just want one thing to start with. Because real peace digs deep into what's wrong and gets to the work of removing the cancer and so that everyone can live. What is the one thing that you can do with that area of wrong that the Spirit tells you, this is yours, this is your place to participate with me and help me make things right? This Advent, peace on earth is us joining our Messiah and turning some wrong upside down. A little here and a little there until things begin to be right side up. That is Christ's kingdom that comes. In Mary's song, the Messiah brings peace, a kind of peace that's not just the warm, fuzzy cocoa in our hands, but it's a peace that gives dignity to those that society doesn't value. Mary cries out, "My soul magnifies the Lord. He has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." A poor Jewish girl from a backwoods town of Nazareth would be the one to bring God's light to this world. And she says, "In Israel, you're going to remember your mercy and you're going to help this country that's been embarrassed, that's been held down by empire after empire. It will be held up by the strong arm of the Lord. And from them, the Savior of the world will come. A lowly girl, a lowly nation. They bring God's promise of peace to earth." This is the kind of peace on earth that we sing of. God's peace sees the ones that society ignores. And God says, "That's the one that I choose for my very best gifts." The countries that never make the news, that we wouldn't even know how to point to them on a map if it was in front of us. God says, "Oh, those places will be honored. That is the peace of Christ." God's got a special place in his heart for places like Kyrgyzstan and Djibouti. You like that one? And Suriname, Palau. You haven't heard of them? That's okay, because God has. And there's a good chance that he is doing something in places like that that will impact the peace on earth for us all. God's peace sees places that no one else sees and brings honor to those places. And God's peace sees the people that society has a hard time making room for because we think they don't have a lot of influence. And God says, "My kingdom is coming through them. They will be honored." You know that story in the Gospels where that widow comes into the temple and she gives her very last penny to God. And Jesus says to all the wealthy who are gathered around him, "Did you see that?" And they didn't, because widows are easy to walk right by. But Jesus says, "I saw her. And I saw what she did. She gave God everything, and that's going down in history." Because God sees who no one else sees, and God loves who he sees, and that, my friends, is peace on earth. One of my best friends, Tara, has a precious little girl named Nora. And Nora has Down syndrome. And Tara has told me about this incredible coffee shop in Waco, Texas, called Biddy and Bo's. And their tagline is, "A human rights movement disguised as a coffee shop." Biddy and Bo's was started by Amy and Ben Wright. They're parents of four kids. One has autism, two have Down syndrome, Biddy and Bo. And whenever Biddy and Bo were born, their parents learned that 80% of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities are unemployed in our nation. 80%. And so the Wrights created a business where those with disabilities are highly valued and given meaningful work to do. In their hometown in North Carolina, back in 2016, they started their very own coffee shop and immediately employed 19 people with disabilities. It took off. Today, their shops are all over the nation. They employ over 400 individuals with disabilities. Those that nobody else would see and say, "I value you. I want you on my team. We need you in this place." And when my friend Tara's little Nora, when she visits Biddy and Bo's, the one in Waco, she walks in the doors and she is given the royal treatment. She is seen and she is celebrated. And they put this little pin on her that says "future employee." And that is peace on earth. The peace of God looks on lowly Mary and on beat down Israel, on people in places that everyone else looks right over. And God says, I see you, and I value you, and I choose you, and I love you. There is no peace for us if there is no peace for them. I wonder this Advent, who is the Prince of Peace calling you to see and value who others are not seeing and are not valuing? Who's that person in your workplace that's so easy to walk right past? Who's that person in your neighborhood that you think, they don't have much influence? See them. Value them. Slow down. The peace of Christ comes when everyone is seen and valued and chosen and loved. On March 18th, 1956, Martin Luther King Jr. delivered a sermon after Authorine Lucy, the first black student admitted to the University of Alabama, was expelled. And she was expelled not because she had done anything wrong. She was expelled because at her entry to the university, riots broke out. And crosses were burned on campus, and eggs and bricks were thrown at her, and riots mobbed the car that she was in. So the university said, this isn't worth it, we're gonna let her go. The morning after Authorine Lucy was expelled from the university, the paper came out with this headline: things are quiet in Tuscaloosa today. There's peace on the campus of the University of Alabama. And Martin Luther King Jr. said, call this peace if you want, but it is obnoxious peace. It's the type of peace, he said, that stinks in the nostrils of the Almighty God. Because you see, peace isn't just giving into evil and drinking our hot cocoa and refusing to make waves in the face of what is wrong in this world. And peace isn't just pretending, you know, if I'm okay, then I'm just gonna put my blinders on and say everyone's okay. But real peace, the peace of which Mary sings, and the peace of which Longfellow longs for, and the peace of which Martin Luther King Jr. preaches, and the peace that Jesus brings, and the peace that we as Jesus people join into and participate in, is a peace that is the active presence of justice and goodness for everyone. For everyone. That's real peace. Unless it touches the oppressed and the powerless and the invisible and the hurting, then it is not yet the full peace, the real peace that Jesus has come to bring. I may have my fleece blanket and my warm, fuzzy feelings, but if my brother's got hunger pangs and bombs flying out of his window, then my peace isn't yet complete. Because we belong to each other. And the peace of Christ is for us all. This Christmas, might we join our Jesus and bring some peace to someone who needs it the most. Who is that in your life, in your corner of this universe? And what's one real way that we're helping bring the real Jesus peace to all of his people? Forget the Amazon wish list. This is what the season's all about. Would you pray with me? And so, Prince of Peace, would you be King of my heart? And when I invite you to be King of my heart, Jesus, I am asking you, giving you permission to let my heart break for what your heart breaks for, and to love the people you love, and to have compassion in all the places you have compassion. Forgive me, O Lord, for where I've put the blinders on my own eyes so I can try to have my own little place of peace. And remind me and us this morning that real peace only comes when it is for everyone. And so could we, your children, get our hands dirty this Advent stirring up some peace for everyone, for everyone. Could it start with just one that we've overlooked? Could it start with just one place that things are not right? Let it begin right here from this room, a movement of peace going out these doors. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.